Welcome back to a brand new episode of Too Many Trailers. This is Kelsey.
And I'm Marianne.
And this is the podcast where we are talking about two trailers every other week. And that was the cleanest intro we've ever had on this show.
I think it's because we had a mini kind of intro before that we already deleted, and this is the second try.
Thank God we deleted that one.
It's fine.
Anyway.
So this is Too Many Trailers.
Yeah. We're discussing, obviously, two trailers. What if one week we discussed three?
Then we'd have to rename our podcast, we'd have to rebrand, it would be awful.
It's like when sci-fi became sci-fi.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a major rebrand.
Yeah, and when, like, ABC Family turned to Freeform and everybody lost their minds.
Yeah, because, I understand as to why they did it.
Same.
But it was very jarring.
Yes, I also still call it ABC
Family, because it's still ABC Family.
Yeah, they're just doing the same stuff, except now they're allowed to.
Exactly. They're no longer part of the branding of ABC.
And they don't have to worry about being family-centered anymore. Now we can talk about things that we weren't allowed to talk about before that I didn't know we were allowed to talk about.
So this week we have Toy Story 4.
And Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
KOTM, as I like to say.
Which are two vastly different trailers.
Mm-hmm.
But we're excited to talk about both of them.
Yes.
For different reasons.
Should we jump right into the behind the trailer facts?
Yeah.
Let's just get right into it today.
All right. So we're going to start with Toy Story 4.
All right. So this movie is coming out June 21st, 2 days post Marianne's 26th.
What up?
So for the director, we have Josh Cooley.
And he has not done much directing at all.
Oh.
He has done like a mini feature about Inside Out. You know how Disney always makes little minis later on?
Yeah.
He did that, and he's been an actor in more things.
And, oh.
He was in Inside Out, but this is his really first directing of a full feature.
That's huge.
It is. Great.
So for writers, we have
so many
8 credits.
I'm only gonna talk about one of them.
Good. So we have Andrew Stanton. Mm-hmm. We have Stephanie Folsom, John Lasseter, Martin Hines, Rashida Jones.
What? So exciting!
Will McCormick, Valerie LaPointe, and Josh Cooley.
All right. So Andrew Stanton mm-hmm. is the person. He was like one of the story writers, and he did all of the original Toy Stories, so
nice.
1 through 3. He's done Finding Nemo and Finding Dory and the Monsters, Inc. sequels. So really all the Pixar movies that make you cry a lot.
Oh, great. So I'm going to bring a bag of tissues then. Awesome.
Yeah, you should.
A bag of tissues.
I mean, I guess those little things that I usually bring with me to the tissues. Those little things of tissues I usually bring with me to the movies are, I guess, more like a bag. I usually call it a packet.
It's more of a packet than a bag, but we don't have to get into
the details.
packaging semantics, but...
All right. So the composer for this movie is Randy Newman, and he has done pretty much everything that Andrew Stanton has done. So he did all the original Toy Stories, Finding Nemo, Finding Dory, Monsters, Inc. films. He's also done the Cars films, and then he's done a few, like, family kind of comedies, like Meet the Fockers.
Randy Newman is just, if you don't know his name, you're not paying attention, essentially. Like, he is like, you got a friend in me.
Right.
Like,
he's
done those songs.
Yes.
He's very iconic and very marketable.
Yes.
Through Pixar.
Absolutely. He's like Pixar's main
guy.
Kelsey, do you want to tell us about the cast for Toy Story 4?
Don't I ever.
It is
fucking large.
Yes.
Okay, so the cast, we have, first off the bat, Keanu Reeves.
What?
I don't know what it is with the Internet Movie Database listing. A lot of Tim Allen's, like, way on the bottom.
Right? I was like, what does this mean? Does this mean he didn't get paid a lot more? Did he not want to take their money anymore?
Is the contract negotiations must have been so strange.
IMDb is like just, really just like up
yeah
stuff.
Some things. It was weird. All right. Anyway, we're just gonna blow right through this.
Yeah.
So we already spoke about Keanu Reeves, Christina Hendricks, Tom Hanks, Patricia Arquette, Jay Hernandez, Annie Potts, Jordan Peele.
Woo.
Wallace Shawn, Christian Shaw, Joan Cusack, Laurie Metcalf, Timothy Dalton, Tim Allen, Tony Hale, Bonnie Hunt, John Ratzenberger, Jodie Benson, Don Rickles, Ali Mackey, Jeff Garland, Estelle Hams, Laurie Allen, Blake Clark, Madeline McGraw, Bud Luckley, Jeff Pigeon, and Lila Sage Bromley.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can I see your list there?
It's pretty much like everyone who has like a name. I think there's like more to it, but
also Jodie Benson.
Yes.
Do you know who that is? She's the original voice of Ariel.
Oh.
And I think she's done maybe one other princess.
Well, because it's a Disney property, there could be some Disney property.
Maybe that means we're gonna see an Ariel doll.
Ooh, maybe.
Maybe she'll sing part of your world.
I wanna be part of your toys.
No, I hope so.
So a couple of things, there's two actors, Don Rickles and
Don Rickles, who I believe
is the voice of Mr. Potato Head, I want to say, and the actor who plays Chuckles, so they're not alive anymore.
I was going to say, isn't Don Rickles dead?
Yeah. So what they're actually using archived voices.
Wow.
For both of them. I don't think that Mr. Potato Head will be featured a lot because of that.
Yeah.
As well as Chuckles the Clown, and I feel like a lot of that, it's just recycled stuff. So, and I think just to kind of
steer that. Yes, you're right, he is Mr. Potato Head.
Which I didn't really realize until literally
an hour ago when I was taking notes. When you just told me. I was today years old when I learned that Don Rickles played Mr. Potato Head.
But yeah, so those two actors, because they passed away, they're using archival
That's fabulous.
Voicing, which is really interesting and a really interesting way to carry on their voices.
And not to switch the like iconic voice of
right,
Mr. Potato
it'd
Head
be...
and these iconic like characters in Toy Story.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I have a feeling about an interesting thing about this trailer / movie.
Okay, should we jump right in then?
I think we should. I think it'd be a good time to do so
and get this
over
with. So Kelsey and I originally watched a lot of trailers.
A couple months ago
when we were trying to like plan out our next episodes and things like that, and we watched this trailer and Kelsey was like, I fucking hate it, and we watched it together and I was like
ruining the surprise, but
not to ruin the surprise, but we were like, what did we just watch?
Yeah,
so we were like, well, we have to do an episode about it now, and now we're gonna go into our reasons why we were like to this trailer.
So to me, what this trailer is promising us, and again, we're not reviewing any other trailers because this is the point of the podcast to review the first official trailer.
Yes. Yeah.
From what this trailer is posing to me is that this whole story is about a motherfucking spork, which, and I get like I understand the concept behind it. Like I get like. The whole point that anything could be a toy, like anything you can be creative and you can love and yada yada, what the fuck ever.
This is probably the most swearing Kelsey's gonna do in a single episode, and I'm like, so here for it.
This is like when Steve Rogers was like swearing throughout the whole end game. He's like, whoa, this is weird. But the more you know, I actually swear this much in real life. It just seems so trivial to the Toy Story franchise because they never really introduced this concept other than kind of in like the first movie when Sid was playing with all the toys he created, but they were like monstrosities.
Sid probably still gives me nightmares.
Oh, Sid especially gives me nightmares. He's frightening. It kind of like he's creating like these like monstrosities that can still be cared for, even though they're not, like, perfect or whatever.
Right,
like, they're
right.
still a toy.
Right.
And I understand that's what they're maybe trying to fall back on with Sporky.
Oh, no, isn't his name Forky?
He's a fucking spork.
I know,
should
but...
be Sporky.
Is it Sporky or Forky?
I think it's Forky, which...
I think it's Forky.
God damn it.
I know. Way to make something terrible even worse.
Yeah.
Just fact-checking whether it's Sporky or Forky, so that we can call him by his preferred
right,
name.
Right, exactly. Excuse me. Yeah. Wouldn't want to offend a fork.
Excuse me, Spork.
So, like, I understand that. However, it's just trivializing the whole purpose of the Toy Story franchise. Right?
I have a lot of feelings about this and about the fact that we have another...
Tony Hale is the actor, if you just want to...
It is Forky. Yes, Forky. I know. Well, I have to say that this child, Bonnie, probably did not know the difference between a spork and a fork.
Valid reasoning.
So if she named him, it makes more sense. I have some questions about our timeline.
Oh my God.
Is this right after Bonnie got the other toys? Because how did Bo Peep already... How is Bo Peep already gone to these other places, but Bonnie still looks the same age? But what is happening? What is happening? Where are we in timeline?
Not a timeline discussion again.
We have several timelines.
Oh, no.
What?
I really think it's probably like a month or so after, or like at least a few months. Like it's summer.
Like it's kid, summer. It's kid, summer. You just got all these new toys, and then you had to still make a new freaking toy?
I think it's technically summer because they're in the RV. So one could assume
that it's they're summer. On a summer vacation.
Exactly. So I feel as though that maybe because Andy left for college, so that would be fall.
So maybe this is...
So this is probably like 8 or so months later.
All right, so she's already... So Andy had these toys for a really long time and was fine with them. And this this little kid is like, it's been 8 months. I need something new.
Well, I don't...
Which is fine. I'm not... This is not against her.
I'm just not against Bonnie. This is against
just bringing up a timeline issue and a concept issue.
Well, I mean, I guess
issue.
It makes sense with like, I don't know.
Girls do want to go, and like little kids want new things, and that's fine.
And that's And I think and that's
she's
like
being creative and whatever. Maybe she's using it because she wants to remember the sporks she uses at school. Whatever.
I did like his like not so much introduction, but like his when he like jumps out of like the RV. He's like, I'm not meant for this. I'm meant for salads, soups, maybe chili.
That was funny. I was like, I agree. Bye, Forky.
Yeah, it's like fuck off.
Forky. Yeah, so literally one of my thoughts in the middle was maybe it would just be better if Forky left because kids would get over it.
Yeah, because
if you lose a toy that you just got and made. Like, yes, I understand that Woody was like, this is the most important thing, let's help by protecting Forky. But if Forky wants to go, he also should be able to make his own choice.
Right, because Forky is a sentient being at this point.
I wanna know. So my question is
about
the whole concept of the film. Was Forky not sentient before he was given like
life
is by Bonnie.
God.
Oh wow, this is going a lot deeper than I thought it would.
No,
but like was like do forks and other objects that aren't being used as toys have feelings, thoughts, emotions, etc. Or did he only become like was he really like I guess born when she decided that he was a toy and gave him the eyes and mouth and all the things?
I think the latter, because of the fact that we can see that also in Toy Story 2 when they're like kind of like repainting the toys and fixing them up. Like obviously it's like this is like the perspective of the like of the toy creator.
Right.
But when they like put everything back together, it comes back to life.
Right.
So I feel like once
when they're like perceived
or personified.
Yeah.
Then I feel like then they become alive.
Yeah. So I wonder if like Bonnie was like, I love this pillow and it's my new toy, and she didn't give it like eyes or a mouth or anything, if it would still be alive.
Right.
Because if it's are the toys that are alive the ones that people
put like
believe our toys.
Right.
Like rather, is it that whoever is believed to be a toy is therefore is a toy and
because
is alive?
That's I guess that's what they're bringing up in this in this film because of Forky, because of all the other like quote unquote lost toys that are like in there because they're not quite toys but they're like kind of toys at the same time.
Right.
Like what does it mean to be a toy?
Jesus, why are we having this discussion?
This is like, what does it mean to be human? Discussion. We are not philosophers. There we go. Thank you. We're not philosophers.
We are not philosophy majors.
Nope.
But here we are discussing philosophy on our podcast. What a day.
So Woody jumps out of the van, chases after Forky. And Forky's like, I don't want this. I never wanted this at all, which is a huge philosophical point.
And it's a huge, like consent point.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, like, he, his own autonomous being. But like, if he is like, no, I don't want this life, he shouldn't have to be forced back into it. But here's Woody being the hero person that's going to talk him back into it. That's going to be like, no, it'll be great to be a toy. Look at all the fun and things you'll have until you fucking break, because you're all you are is a plastic fork. Like, it's going to be a really hard life for him.
Yeah, I mean...
This is a lot. Oh my god, we are going to go into a eugenics situation.
Are we Thanos?
No,
it's for a kid's film. This is a deep philosophical question that Toy Story 4, okay, this is the fourth film that is asking. It's wild. It is wild. And we haven't even gotten to the plot of the film.
I guess.
There's like four plots that are going on.
I'm very confused about what the plot is supposed to be. Same. What are we supposed to be doing?
Like, who are the evil people in
this
situation?
Are the evil things just the things from that antique store? Which, A, now I'm going to be terrified, and so are kids.
Well,
so
no.
Thanks.
They've already always been, the ventriloquist dummies have always been frightening.
Yeah.
Always.
Why are there 5,000 of them in that antique store?
Because no one fucking wants them.
Okay, but maybe we should throw them in the trash and not send them to the antique store, because they'll just come to life! And kill everybody!
Kill the toys!
Oh my god, Toy Story 5.
Attack of the ventriloquists.
Oh god, Attack of the Dummies, I can't!
We're gonna start to see the trailer, and then A24 is just gonna, like, pop up.
A24 films give me nightmares. Oh my god, it's like Chucky or those scary films that give me nightmares for days!
So
why is this a discussion we're having during our Toy Story 4 discussion?
Well, it's in the trailer.
I know,
so.
I hate it.
So they come across like this like antique store.
I would just like to say that I think this Toy Story 4 discussion is going to be a heck of a lot scarier than our Godzilla King of the Monsters discussion.
It's going to be a lot scarier than next episode's Midsummer discussion.
Not that far. I don't think.
But yeah, definitely much scarier than Godzilla KOTM.
Yeah. Love it. Okay, sorry, continue.
So they somehow end up at the antique store. Not really sure.
No, I do.
Oh, okay.
It was saying that Woody saw Bo.
Oh, in the window? Oh.
So, and he was like, Bo? And I was like, where did Bo Peep go? How did she get there?
Yeah.
I want to know so much. Also, Bo Peep's wearing pants?
Bo Peep is wearing a jumpsuit, and I want that jumpsuit. I love that jumpsuit.
Okay.
I want to wear it all the time.
Do
anyway.
You want to be Bo Peep for Halloween?
Maybe.
Okay.
That actually might be one of my costumes I'm thinking about.
Were you already? Before I just said that? Wow.
Yeah.
I know, because you didn't have that like look of like, shit, that's a good idea.
No, it's one of the contenders. And when I say one of the contenders, it's the only thing I've been thinking of for the past 3 months.
Okay.
So he goes into the antique store, shit happens. Where this crazy ass fucking doll.
The porcelain doll's
in charge.
The porcelain
doll, which is great
kill
for women in power, but
not when you're trying to kill everybody though.
But yes, I know. And then, like, she sends her attack dolls.
Attack dolls. Instead of attack dogs, they're attack dolls. I hate it.
And Bo Peep saves the day, which I love.
I love it.
And she's like, she's
always been a badass.
She always has been, but was never really shown to be a badass.
But she was never allowed to be.
There we go.
Because this is a male-centered movie, and I hate it.
Moving on. So, I mean, she's shown to have a personality. She's other than Woody's like love interest, which
except
I really like.
They also hail a lot more because Woody's like, I just want to be with Bo Peep, and I just want to. And I'm like,
but that's on Woody's side though. We don't really see that through Bo Peep.
I know,
eyes.
So I want to know if Bo Peep is about it or if she's like, nah, man.
Like you left me, like what?
Or whatever. Somehow we became separated.
Exactly. And then she introduces this world of like lost toys,
but it's like a carnival, which is cool,
right? Which I do, and that's where Jordan Peele comes in, because he plays one of the chicks, I want to say, that's like the toys that you get at like the carnival booths. I don't know what I'm doing with my
hand. I do know what you mean,
and that's all we see of him. But I just like, I don't, everything seems really disjointed. I feel like, in this trailer.
Yeah, it was really hard to follow anything that was happening. And then you flash back to, like, Buzz and the other toys.
Yeah, they used a lot of old footage, too, from, like, the previous movie, Toy Story 3, if no one's counting. And and I feel like they're mostly just looking on the past rather than moving forward.
Yeah, they're like, let's go save Woody. What would Woody do? Jump out of a moving vehicle. And then they all go, which is, like, a fun callback, but...
Right.
But, like, also at the same time, I'm like, so now you're going to leave Bonnie with no toys to play with on her RV trip. How are you going to get back to her? And also, how the fuck are you going to find Woody and his spork?
There's, like, five different plot lines, like, feeding through this one trailer, which is really a lot.
And I find, honestly, in general, the Toy Story movies have a lot of subplots and things that are often hard to follow.
Right. Especially in Toy Story 3. Toy Story 1 and 2, they were pretty straightforward.
Yeah, they were much better.
And Toy Story 3, there was, like four different plots. There was the escape from the preschool.
Yep.
There was the bear. There was, like, the bear was the evil person. Then we had him growing up.
Yeah.
Andy growing up.
Yeah.
And then
we had
the whole plot of them going into the Ascent and, like, them trying to, like, escape. And, like, it was a lot.
And then, like, you get the whole thing. Sorry.
It's okay.
Like, I feel like they always split up the toys into, like,
packs.
Different groups.
Yeah.
And then you're always trying to follow where everybody is. And I'm like, this is a TV show, like, with many, like, subplots of where everybody's separated.
This is
not a good film.
Right.
Plot.
And I feel like...
when you split up things, then it's too hard to follow.
I feel like if Disney Plus was, like, a thing now, this would be, like, a... like a 30-minute television show.
Right.
Like, with a full arc and everything for maybe, like, for kids, but also, like, adults can watch it too and everything. It'd be a lot better. It'd be a lot more streamlined. I feel like a lot of films now that try to introduce, like, 700 plots could just be films
it's
and it'll
so
be 100% hard. Okay. But yet movie directors are so hell-bent on making films rather than it's okay to cross over to television where there's so many mediums
now.
You can
make it a mini-series, like a 10-episode mini-series,
right.
And then it would be way easier to, like, really flesh out all the plots and stuff and make it make sense, because it's gonna be, like, one of those things where, like, in one of the movies, like, doesn't, like, a bird pick them up and then they drop them off and suddenly they're all in the right place and I'm like,
yeah,
no.
It's, like,
I mean,
coincidence.
I get it. It's a kid's movie.
Right.
I get it.
Granted, we just discussed about certain philosophical points that kids should not be thinking about.
So you shouldn't have to worry about.
No.
Anyway. So, do you have any other...
The only
thoughts?
Thing is, like, so...
because I have, like, an ending thought, but...
I kind of have an ending thought, too.
Okay.
I really do feel like this is, like, the last of the Toy Story films, hopefully. Like, we didn't need this sequel at all.
What my end thought was. We had a beautiful, like, well-rounded ending to the whole series with Toy Story 3. Where it was like, Andy's grown up and now he's giving his toys to the next person.
It's a perfect,
and it was like a really it was just a really great ending for the whole story and the whole series.
Right.
So that they did a good job, and I thought that it was like, okay, we put a cap on it. Like, we have closure, all that. It was like perfect, and then now we're like, let's bring it back because everybody loves Toy Story. And
consumerism.
Like, right. But also, when you have a really good ending, leave it where it was.
Leave it alone.
It's okay.
Just leave it alone.
It's okay to leave things alone and to let things end, especially when you have had the time to wrap things up nicely.
Right. I think a lot in this culture, like as fan culture and everything, we always, at least fans, and we're fans of media too, so I feel like, I don't know, not that it's okay to say it, but we sometimes need a little bit of learning that it's okay for things to end, you know?
Yeah.
We don't have to bring everything back. We don't have to say, well, we want more. Especially when series get canceled, it's like, save this show, save that show. There are certain times when it's like, no, we really, like, the show really should be keep going on. But there are times where it's like, it's canceled. It's canceled for a reason. You know, it sucks that it didn't end properly or anything. But it's okay things to just...
Yeah. And sometimes it's okay, like, when a show... I feel like it more like when a show ends and they've gotten the time to really, like, kind of wrap things
up,
which does not always happen.
No.
But when they've really had their time to go through everything and wrap things up, and then people are like, no, but we still want more, make a spin-off, make a spin-off. Sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. Like, exactly. Sometimes it's okay to have, like, let the story to come to a close.
Right, and I think it's a lot of it that we as, it's weird that I'm bringing this up, but we as humans don't like death, or don't like finalities, and yes. It's okay, you know, we have to experience that, even if it's just, like, in films and TV, it's okay to close a book.
Right.
You know, it's okay to say, we're not going to move on to the next chapter. This is done.
Right.
You know? I mean, it sucks and it's like a shitty feeling, but we as humans have to experience that because we will not be able to move on properly.
Right. And I think it's okay to... What I like is that when you... So, like, let's take Harry Potter as an example. Like, the seventh book had a good... Like, had an ending.
Yeah.
They closed all the loops, everything like that. And when you try to bring it back through different mediums, sometimes it doesn't work out as well as you hope. Like, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, a lot of people had issues with. They were like, everything doesn't feel the same, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So sometimes when you bring things back, it's not as good as you would have wanted.
Right.
And then it leaves you with the worst feeling.
That happened. Let's just...
But sometimes you can use the universe and use the, like... world you created and use different characters and use those same bases and really get the same feelings but differently
and better and, maybe
yeah and sometimes like in comics where you can call back certain
exactly what it is
a little bit like call back to certain characters like so let's imagine like that you have like Hogwarts 50 years from now and then but you occasionally get references to other characters or maybe you get a small interaction with somebody's grandson or like a small interaction with Harry for a little bit. But that's all you need.
It's a universe. You're describing like the Marvel Cinematic Universe or
you can use the universe but you don't need to follow necessarily the exact same characters or plot lines.
Right. It's like another example. They do it in comics all the time.
Right. Yes.
In like literally all the time. Like I'm reading I was reading like Ant-Man and they called back to a certain situation. They literally in a blurb go, oh, read this comic if you want to see what happened here. And, like, they were just like, okay, so that run ended, but I can go back to see, you know, where Scott Lang was dealing with this issue with the Avengers or something. And so you can still continue something, but also close the original storyline.
Right.
I think this didn't happen well with Lucifer. So Lucifer ended, I mean, like, the ending was, like, pretty crappy because of the fact that they ended on a cliffhanger and... that sucks and everything, but fans were like, get the show back, it's season 4, and bop, bop, bop. They brought it for Netflix, and it wasn't so great, because it was rushed, and all they just wanted to do was satisfy people's feelings, fans, and sometimes you just have to step back as fans and go, okay, well,
this happened, and it sucked, but let's see all the good things that happened, and then everybody can, like, kind of come to their own conclusions of what they wanted, instead of it being forced on you,
Yeah, and I feel like, that's why, like, whenever I see on, like, Twitter, it's like, save this show. It's like, let's not save this show.
Right, so sometimes it's good, and, like, I get it, too, when, like, something ends on a cliffhanger because it gets canceled, and you're like,
oh, shit.
But what the fuck?
Right.
What am I going to do with my life now? And I get that because I live that often.
Yeah.
And it's dependent, because I don't want to make anybody upset with this.
No, it is.
Like, it's like, sometimes... you're right. Like, this show was doing good things, and it should have been saved. That's not what we're saying.
No.
We are not saying that no shows that were canceled should come back.
It's all dependent on which show and which ending has been brought about to that.
Right. And who chose to end it.
Exactly.
Sometimes, like, if the...
if it's TV... Like let's say a good example is Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
So that ended, and that shouldn't have been ended. You know, it shouldn't have... been canceled, I should say.
Right.
But then NBC was like, no, we're going to pick it up because there's more story to tell.
Right.
That's fine.
I think when a network chooses to cancel a show,
then
sometimes another network can pick it up and it'll be good.
Yeah.
When writers choose to cancel or end a show,
there's a reason.
Like, either, like, they were like, this is our end for this. Like, other people, you can, like, dream from there and, like, go on from there.
Fan fiction awaits. Yes.
Sure does. But it's different and dependent.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So, Toy Story 4 could have ended with Toy Story 3.
Exactly, because the writers ended it.
Mic drop. I liked the music choices.
Yeah, music was really good, and that's why I felt like it was really like a closure type of thing, where it's like saying,
I was like, good heavens, because I really thought we used this kind of music enough in Toy Story 3, right, that we felt like, this is a closing story, this is what's ending a film, and here we are, making the next
one. Oh boy.
All right.
Are you going to see this movie in theaters, Netflix, VOD?
I'll see it whenever.
Yeah, I'm not particularly interested. I don't know.
Right. If
yeah.
they had come up with a fabulous plot that was like really, a really straightforward great, plot. That was awesome and wasn't going to give me like existential thoughts for hours.
Yes.
And stuff, and I was, and then maybe I was like, okay, I'll go see it. But no.
Yeah, I agree. I like, I maybe I'll watch it like a year from now on Netflix, right, or on Disney Netflix, Plus or
like
whatever.
When it shows on TV.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not gonna force myself to be like, I'm gonna see this in the theater.
No, definitely not.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
All right.
Take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break. And welcome back.
Welcome back.
So we are going to discuss the trailer for Godzilla, King of the Monsters,
or KOTM,
if you will. So we'll jump into some behind the trailer facts, and then we'll kind of talk about our discussion. It's gonna be a little different than maybe
usual.
Our typical.
Yeah.
But we'll walk you through it. Don't you worry.
It's okay to change things up sometimes.
Is this personal growth? Wow. Go team.
Go team. All right. So the director is Michael Dougherty.
Yes. He's also one of the writers.
Yes, he is.
So he has directed. I got it confused because I put him down as the writer first. So I think he has written things like Superman Returns, mm-hmm. X-Men Apocalypse, and X-Men 2.
Ooh, or, X2.
Oh, ooh, X-Apocalypse. Ooh, Superman Returns.
Ooh,
rough stuff. Not giving me high hopes here.
Yeah.
But, and then directed things like Krampus. That Krampus? He did with one of the other
And Adam
writers.
Scott. Oh.
It's X-Shield. Continue.
Oh, Adam Scott, the actor from Parks and Rec, was in that movie.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, good. That means people might know it. I didn't know people.
Oh,
might know
yeah.
It. I was like, this is the only thing.
It's an indie horror film about evil Santa, but
yeah. I don't like the Krampus idea anyway in general. So there's that.
So we're gonna move away from that. So the writers, just like Marion said, Michael Dougherty is one of the writers. We have Zach Shields and Max Bornstein.
So Michael Dougherty and Zach Shields have really only done Krampus and then some other small stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
Max Bornstein is really going to be our person that's pulling us in a little bit. He's
yeah.
written other big monster films and things. He wrote, is a writer for Godzilla, the 2014.
Oh, with Bryan Cranston, yep.
And then also did like Kong Skull Island.
Ooh, good movie.
The rebooted Jumanji.
Okay.
So he's really the only other, the
like
only writer on the staff that's done other big action films and stuff like that. And, has
and
done
like
more.
Big monster films.
Yes.
Have you seen Kong Skull Island? I'm guessing no.
No, because the trailer showed me that it was just going to be a movie about King Kong and have zero plot. So I was like,
it's actually very, very well done.
Okay.
So what they did is that
they have a good plot.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. Wow. Okay. That's derailing my whole chat.
So Kong Skull Island is actually a film about really the Vietnam War. Which is, I thought, a really good spin on it, and how they use these people to, like, do an investigation of mm-hmm. this, like, island that they found for, like, money, and it's very political, which I really enjoyed, and because it gave a new spin
okay.
on, like, the whole Kong.
Wow.
And how when they, like, visited this island, it's not just King Kong, that's just this big monkey, gorilla person thing.
Person.
It's actually, like, there's actually, like, a whole island of big
monsters
slash animals.
Okay.
So it kind of makes it more into like we're saying, like a universe type of feel, which is very well done. Eugene Cordero, who is actually like a stand-up comedian, is in this movie. Mark Evan Jackson, who you know from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I believe.
Okay.
Brie Larson's in it as well.
You could be right.
John Goodman plays like a character in it. It's phenomenal.
Wow.
It's a very, very good movie. I really enjoyed it.
Wow. All right.
So moving right along to Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
The composer is Bear McCreary.
Bear McCreary! He's done a bunch of the Outlander series.
He's also done all of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Really?
All the music for it. Walking Dead. He's done a bunch of video games. He did everything for Battlestar Galactica. And then bringing it back to our Rainbow Connection.
Ooh, our first Rainbow Connection for today.
He also did the music for Black Sails, which has gay pirates, and it had this one character that was always pretty much like. So there were a few
like possible
queer lady pirates, including Max, who had this main relationship with one of these other characters, Eleanor, which started like right at the beginning of the series.
Oh wow!
And I was like, All right. And then Eleanor kind of is definitely more of a like a bisexual character. She mm-hmm. has relationships with men. Max doesn't as much. Mm-hmm. She like doesn't really have a lot of the meaningful relationships with men. She sleeps with men, but you don't
not
get the
so
like
much
relationship.
Like the kind. Relationship. Yeah.
And then she has another relationship later on with another character named Anne. And I haven't really seen everything, guys. So if things
don't
change,
spoil it,
I'm so sorry. But it was canceled a while ago. But it went on for 4 seasons.
That's
I
pretty good
say.
For like and a premium subscription series.
It
you
was
know?
Not bad.
It's I hear it's really really good.
It was actually like from what I saw of it, it was pretty good.
Pretty good.
I liked it.
Good
for the gay pirates.
Other stuff.
I don't know how the plot was, guys. I'm sorry, but I heard good things.
I've heard good things too. Yeah.
So that's our Rainbow Connection for today. Thank you, Bear McCreary, for doing the music for Black Sails.
Our cast. We have Kyle Chandler, Vera Farmiga, Millie Bobby Brown, who you would probably know from Stranger Things, Ken Watanabe from our friend Detective Pikachu,
and from everything
and
else
that he's done.
Lead Japanese character.
We have Ziyi Zhang. We have Bradley Whitford, Sally Hawkins, Charles Dance, Thomas Middleditch, Aisha Hands, and O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Boom.
All right.
Should we jump into our discussion?
Yeah, I think we should jump in.
So, what happened was...
we didn't choose a correct trailer to watch.
Right. Usually, when we watch the trailers, Kelsey and I watch the exact same trailer and everything's good and wonderful. But what happened with this one was...
whoops.
They released an official trailer
twice.
About a year ago.
So
and that was premiered at San Diego Comic-Con.
That was like their first official, which I didn't think it was their first official trailer. I thought the one that's been showing in literally every single type of screen you can watch has been the trailer.
Because I think when things get released almost a year ago, you kind of assume it's a teaser.
Oh, absolutely.
So I feel like that could have been what has happened also in this situation.
Yeah.
We must say that the difference, there
Holy
are a lot
shit.
Of differences between the first official trailer they released about a year ago and then this, what's the second official trailer that's the one that probably more people are familiar with, that's really been in the trailers in the theaters and also has been shown on TV.
Yes.
So we're going to talk a little bit about both and then some differences and things and like, where are we going with this plot?
What's
going
to happen? Okay. So... oh boy.
Do we want to talk about the first one first and then the
second
one?
Yeah, let's talk about the first one first and then we'll just go on to the second one.
Yeah. So the first one opens with it's a post-apocalyptic film
mm-hmm.
is what we're seeing. And then they're talking about these titans on Earth, which is referencing Godzilla and the other monsters whose names I don't really know as well.
Well, I know that there's like Mothra.
Yes,
there's like
Mothra,
a three-headed dragon.
And then the three-headed dragon person.
We have like a spider thing. I don't know.
A spidery thing. Right. And all these things that you might have seen from like other like Godzilla films and things like that.
I don't think they're in other Godzilla films though.
Is it Mothra?
No.
I feel like Mothra was another.
Mothra was it's an entirely different like monster.
But did Godzilla fight Mothra at one point in a movie?
I mean, maybe.
I think they might have crossed paths.
Like maybe
before.
Years and years ago.
Yeah, it's
like
a really old one that my dad likes to watch.
Yeah, probably.
Godzilla and Mothra.
So they're essentially pulling in like the Avengers of like the monster universe.
Right.
I talked about
you've got the Titans. But then in the first official trailer, they're talking about the Titans and then they're like, and they're our only hope for humanity. And I was
What?
I was like, did I hear that quickly? So rewinded and was like, and then they were talking about like, so I'm like, do they need to destroy everybody on the planet or destroy a certain portion of the population to do this? Are we going to a Thanos kind of thing where you need to have destroyed? And I was like, so what's going to happen?
Is this a mutiny against the king? Like, what's going on?
I don't know what's happening. Yeah. So, but then it's looking like the Titans are what's going to save humanity. So I don't know what that means.
And so does that mean Godzilla is the bad guy then still?
I don't know. Because then in the second trailer, it looks like the three-headed dragon-y kind of one.
Is like the main
Is the main bad guy, and Godzilla's gonna fight him, and the other people, other Titans might help.
It's not clear as to who is opposing who.
And like what our main focus is. Because the second trailer is kind of showing us that these other Titans have just emerged because the world's in turmoil. And they're just going to all fight each other now because they've been released.
Right, exactly.
Not that humans intentionally released them, which is what we're seeing in the first trailer.
Which is what we're seeing that,
you literally see them get, like, pretty much de-iced, like Captain America. And I was like, oh, who thought this was a good choice?
So I think that from what I'm pulling from both trailers.
Yes, and now let's talk about both and, like, what the fuck might be happening.
Okay, so we're just trying to get the plot going. So what I think is happening is that even though they show Godzilla, like, emerging at the end of both trailers.
I love watching Godzilla emerge from the water.
Powerful. Bad bitch energy. I love it.
Also, I'll talk about that later.
Okay. So Godzilla is going to be, like, the first to arise, and he's going to do that, like, weird fire energy thing into the air.
Right. Which I feel like across things, Godzilla sometimes has fire and sometimes doesn't.
Yeah, it's... Because
sometimes he's more of a dinosaur, and sometimes he's more of a dinosaur dragon.
Like a kaiju, as Guillermo del Toro.
Who?
Not Guillermo del Toro. The guy who did Shape of Water. You know who I'm talking about.
I do know, and it is Guillermo del Toro.
Okay, good.
It's not the other person that you're thinking that you're saying, who is... Benicio del Toro. I saw you immediately stop, and you were like, wait, I have made a mistake.
Wait. So, like, the kaiju from Pacific Rim and everything, that's what it's kind of reminding me of? That it's more of, like, an earth creature where it derives the energy from the earth and the water?
Kind of like Clash of Titans, where you've got these multiple different big monsters all fighting each other because somehow whatever's happening in the earth is making them all rise up.
Exactly.
And it's, like, whatever.
So, I think
so that's what I was thinking was going to happen until I watched the first trailer that was, like, the humans chose to release the Titans because we thought that would be helpful for humanity dying.
Humans are fucking stupid.
Literally, one of my other things is humanity sucks, so we have these Titans. Right.
So Godzilla's like, yo, what up, I'm here. I'm back. And so the humans are like, oh shit, we have this like thing that's like gonna destroy...
That's what the second trailer is telling us. Yeah, it's saying that, we have these monsters that are going to destroy the Earth.
But like,
and the first one's saying, we chose that we want these monsters to destroy the Earth. That's what I'm trying
to get to. So then they're like, well, because in the second trailer, they're like, oh, we should invite him in or something. Like, we should, like, try and, you know, get to him.
Right.
And then I guess in the first one, they're like, okay, let's then bring about Mothra
and
everyone else to
Because it shows try them all stop. Kind of like... iced or under earth or
I think they're like caged slash under earth and then they're like released, like, because Mothra cannot survive in water, obviously it's a air creature, so
if moths are in water they die.
So I feel like they're specifically like releasing them, and then like the three-headed dragon like is like comes up from the earth like volcano, like he's a fire monster.
Yes, like he's been entrapped under a volcano.
Right,
and or maybe he's like just, arises. With so the cross it's more of the thing is it have they been dormant or has humanity caged them?
Godzilla, King of the Monsters, explain this to me.
I have a lot of questions for this film.
This shouldn't be a question that we should be mulling over.
Right, your two trailers shouldn't be so vastly different in terms of like what is going on in the plot.
The fact that they're just like, oh, it's our best friend Godzilla, let's try and capture him. And then the other one's like, oh my god, we are fucking screwed.
We are fucked because this is what happened.
It shouldn't be this bad.
I have a lot of questions.
And the trailer shouldn't, I mean, it should leave us with questions being like, what's gonna happen? And not being like, what is going on?
Right, do you guys know what's happening?
Right.
Because it's like, when you release, so typically what we've seen over the past year or so that we've been doing this podcast is that when you watch the first official trailer, it has not a lot of plot and a lot of like big explosions, big scenes that are going to happen. And then the second plot trailer tells you a lot about the plot and all those yeah. things. This one is like, the first one has a lot of plot and the second one has a lot of plot, but neither of them are the same plot.
No, and it's subverting our expectations of trailer watching people, where we're being brought this trailer in the second one where it's just like flashy type scenes. Yeah. Also, speaking about flashy type scenes, can we stop this trend of fading out every fucking second?
Wow.
And so it's...
Yeah.
It's been a big thing in a lot of like action trailers, at least seen recently. I mean, you could see it in the Men in Black trailer that we discussed.
Yes, where we were like, please, Lord, stop.
And I feel, and that's been happening a lot in the second trailer. And I was just like, we get it.
We're good.
We're fine.
We see that there's a lot of big monsters. You can just cut to the next one. You don't need to fade
that's
out.
That's all that people
want to
see. And I feel like a lot of it, because the same thing happened in the Men in Black trailer where they're trying to tie it up with the music, and as much as
I love when you do that,
it was,
we don't need to do it 20 times in a 2-minute trailer.
Exactly.
But however, I did like that shot of Millie Bobby Brown.
Oh,
that one was, iconic one where her hair is like kind of wrapped around her face a little bit, and it looks like a tattoo. Love it. And apparently they did too, because they used it in both trailers and the teaser.
They used it every single time.
But like, good job.
I have a question regarding Millie Bobby Brown in this movie. Is she like connected to Godzilla by any chance?
Because she, or like all of the Titans, because like she touches the other one's face.
Like a girl
with
a dog.
You know what it's like? You know what it's like? It's like if you imagine in
there's a movie like a horse film,
but
or
also
something.
I feel like they do it in like How to Train Your Dragon,
oh,
and they do it in Avatar,
because it's like it's a connection between an animal and a person,
and like it's like we're friends now. Is she going to ride that Titan? Like, will she be like on, because I don't
will
know
she
which
be
one that is. I don't know if that was my.
I thought it was Cerberus. I thought it was like a dog.
I don't know.
I mean, it could be. I mean, it could be Godzilla.
How many Titans are there? Also, a main question for this movie.
I need like a concise number. Give me like 11.
I've seen
four.
Four that I'm sure about. Like, I've seen Godzilla, Mothra the dragon, and this other watery type creature that she touched its face.
Oh, that was like, is that like the sea dragon? Maybe, is there like
the sea dragon where it's got the things?
Yes.
Yeah, I liked it. Kelsey and I are making a lot of gestures to try and explain which Titan we're talking about.
Oh,
it's going really well. Is she... I want to know why, if you're like a teenager, why are you here?
Kids in horror films, stop.
Why, B, you are obviously connected, and why does Godzilla not want to kill / eat you? Why do they care about you? That's my question.
Like, what's your deal?
Are you part Titan?
Ooh! Is she part Titan? Is she a Titan-esque
human
person thing?
Wow.
Now
I have a lot more questions.
Yeah, too many questions. There's just too many questions.
Too many questions, too many trailers. Good night.
Good night. Goodbye. I just don't know. But I do have to say, overall, I do really, really love these trailers. Because of the way the music that they pair them up with.
Right, both trailers had wonderful music.
It was flipping
off. So, like, you go, Bear McCreary. You know what the fuck you're doing.
Exactly. Like, the sonata in the first one, which is probably... I know it's, like, it's an orchestral piece. It's very, very well done.
Beautiful
with,
piece.
Like, the way, like, certain things come up in the water.
Yes,
and,
like, as the Titans rise, like, it's beautifully done.
And then the second one where it's Over the Rainbow, I want to say. Where it's like all about wonder and excitement and being like, what the fuck is going on here?
And as the giant Titans rise and you're like, is this a happy film?
Exactly, but it's like slowed down and creepy-ish.
Yeah, when you've got the contrast between the light and beautiful music, and then you've got the terrible and creepy things happening around us. We've talked about it
many times. But it works out
always works really well, and I love
it. But especially in this trailer,
it
works really, really well.
I think because it's like slowed down, softer stuff, and it's not like the upbeat, cheery stuff.
Right.
Where you really are like, all right. I get it.
Like,
these are different.
It is obviously a contrast.
Yes, but this is like, you took something that was originally happy and you made it creepy intentionally.
Exactly.
And I'm here for it?
Yeah. You've seen me. I've cried at this trailer. The second one, at least.
Kelsey was in the theater the other day. She was like, I love this trailer so much.
It's so, so well done. Even though there's like a lot of questions that need to be, it's just... visually stunning, and I feel like this movie is going to be very cinematic, very director oriented. I feel like,
And my next part of my, like, ending thoughts for this is that I hope, because sometimes when we try to make big monster films, we kind of forget to make a really good plot.
Yes.
And we're just like, look at these great, beautiful, big monsters fighting each other.
Right.
And look at how much money we spent on it.
Exactly.
And we don't develop any good plot. And I was worried about that initially anyway. Yeah. But now that we've seen both trailers, I'm like, now I'm really worried because I don't know if we have an idea or a direction.
Well, what's
going
on? And I think that's why the second trailer has no plot, because of the fact
they were
that
like, oh shit.
It's not the greatest, because it's a confusing plot. So I feel like that's why
really
this one, because this trailer, the second trailer, you've seen in the theaters, on TV, on the fucking radio or something like that. And like, it's just,
you're
it's
right.
really. They're really forcing this one rather than the first one, which you would think that the second one would be the first one would be the one that they would push onto you more because it has the plot, you know?
Right. So I don't know what's happening.
And that's a problem with a lot of, like, and you said Michael Dougherty hasn't done much big action films, correct?
Yes. So really Max Bornstein is really who we're, like, kicking in.
Yeah.
So I really hope that he
so a lot
really
of,
pushed them
so
a lot and was like, no, we need to.
There was a problem with I don't want to say problem because it's not a problem, but there was issues with when they give directors, like, a blank check. A lot of the times, when especially coming off of smaller things, they're like, I want to do this!
And they're like, look at all this money! I've got so much money to work with all these big things, and look at all these big action scenes I could put in here,
yeah.
And how are we going to fit it on? And then they forget to build a good plot around
it. Yeah, and they kind of just only focus, which is great, it focuses on the visual effects and everything, which is awesome.
But it really
but
sucks when
you need to understand that it's a collaborative effort. And
yeah.
not just being like, look at the pretty colors that Godzilla is shooting out of his mouth.
That he's never shot out of his mouth before in all of the bajillions of Godzilla films there have been.
Yeah.
Here we are.
So yeah.
You gonna see this film in theaters?
I think probably Netflix, if anything. As much as I want to see, I mean, I'll probably
see it
on the big screen though, I feel like.
Yeah, do I want to see it for the big effects?
Yes. But for
but
like
also,
the plot, like I'd go on a Tuesday, like a bargain Tuesday.
Only on
for,
a Tuesday.
Yeah, because of the fact that I don't want to spend too much money seeing this movie because
right.
I know that it probably won't be the greatest.
But
I do want to see. Unless
the reviews come back and then they're like, "Holy shit, it had an amazing plot." Then I'll definitely
go see it in theaters. But
if
I think
not,
because of the fact it's more of a visual experience for me personally,
right.
I'll see it in theaters just for that. But generally, Netflix.
Yeah.
How about you?
Same, but it's also like, but I could also get like the same feelings from big visual effects for a movie that has a good plot, so I might probably just be like,
Yeah.
And probably just wait and see it on Netflix or when it comes on TV in a year.
And
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Valid.
Yeah.
Valid. All right.
So.
Great discussion.
Yeah. I agree. We did great.
We
were really good at our job.
That is not our job.
It's our side hustle.
All right, so let's do some business then.
Yeah. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Too Many Trailers. That's TWO Many Trailers. And you can always like our posts, retweet us,
interact with us, have
comment.
Fun with us.
We ask us questions, be like, why did you choose this picture? Ask us more things.
Why did you pair up Godzilla KOTM with Toy Story 4?
Because we had to choose something.
We had to do something this week. If you want to talk to us with longer thoughts about, like, maybe, like, describe us the Godzilla history,
right,
as to why
like,
their
Mothra
is. Mothra
has fought them before, and maybe this is why they chose all the Titans. And
right,
how
exactly.
many Titans are there? Do you know? Please let us know, because we don't.
We don't, but we would like some information. You can always email us at toomanytrailers@gmail.com. That's TWOmanytrailers@gmail.com.
That would probably be a good place to also send us your deep philosophical thoughts about Forky.
Do you want to have Forky fuck off like me, or?
Or do you think Forky should
stay.
Be there?
Tweet
Does
us.
Does Forky have a place in the Toy Story
universe?
Let us know via email because we're going to have long thoughts.
Yeah. Does Forky deserve a 4-minute short movie that will probably win an Oscar?
Should he have just been a short film? Probably.
Oh
my god. Forky could have a to be or not to be discussion. To be
no.
or not to
no.
be. No, I hope they don't, but I'm saying if they did that as just a short film, it'd be fine.
It'd be fine. If you want to listen to us and continue listening to us, we hope you do, please rate and subscribe to us in iTunes. Feel free to subscribe. We put out episodes every other week with intermittent bonus episodes. We are also on
Overcast and Anchor. You can find us on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've been Too Many Trailers. Don't judge a movie by its trailer. Leave that to us. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.